Hey, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I believe because, and you can call it revelation, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that there are people here today who are going to be healed. There are people today who are going to be saved. There are people here today who are going to be delivered from fear and bondage and emotional crisis. But here's what I want you to do. I'm not just calling you to come. When you sense in your spirit that God is telling you that this is your time, come and sit in the front row. You say, why? Because you're acknowledging a word from the Holy Spirit and you're taking a step to receive what God has for you. Now, I know that's scary. I know maybe you think Pastor had too much pizza last night, but I didn't. I had a hot dog. But put some action to your faith. Put some action to what God is telling you. Because when God is speaking, He wants to fulfill what He promised. And when we get to the resurrection, which we are in a couple minutes, God wants to give you hope. He wants to give you power. And He wants your bodies to be healed. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He will make you sit in your pew all morning. He will bring life to your physical body. Do you realize that many times when Jesus healed somebody, He told them, take up your bed and walk. Go show yourself to the priest. Do something. And somewhere in this service, we're just going to agree that you're healed. Somewhere in this service, we're just going to agree that you have rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, and from now on, you are a vessel dedicated to Him. Or if you've never received Christ before, that you're accepting Him as your Savior. Now, here's the other side of the coin. I have a lot of notes. If you don't come, dinner's going to be cold. Okay, here we go. This morning when I came to the church, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on the resurrection. And what Kirk read this morning, I read earlier. And I put a little bit of what I read yesterday on Facebook. But I want you to look at verse 3. And we're going to take three passages of scripture here, or four. Verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Has given us, begotten to us, or given to us a living hope. Now here's some things that were happening at the resurrection. Now I want you to analyze this. It's like creation versus Big Bang or whatever, what do they call it now? Evolution. It's easier to believe that God spoke something into existence than there was just this massive explosion or many massive explosions and we came into existence. Isn't it? Now I want to tell you the story that the guards, the soldiers told, or the priest told the soldiers to tell. Now, if you've read the story of the resurrection in John, you realize, and Jesus was probably around 200 pounds, okay? And they embalmed him, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, with 100 pounds of embalming. So that's 300 pounds. We okay? I'm just telling what John wrote. So they took his body, put him in a grave, put a stone around it. And the idea was that these disciples who were amazingly brave, just absolutely warriors for Jesus, came by night while the soldiers were sleeping without making any noise and waking them up, moved the stone away, and carried this 300 pounds out of the tomb. No noise now. And the soldiers who would be put to death for falling asleep on their post agreed to it. How's that sound? But think. And then that story, as Kirk read this morning, is still going on. Nobody stopped to analyze it. Nobody stopped to look at it. Nobody stopped to come to a place of thinking, hey, maybe this isn't right. And so the resurrected Jesus had 511 witnesses that saw him walking around after the resurrection. That's quite a few. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you are in love with Jesus? How many of you would die for him if he was still in the grave? If he didn't rise, would you die for him? Would you die for a myth? Would you lay down your life? Now, look at me. Paul was no idiot. Do you think he would have went through the beatings and the things that he went through and the imprisonments and finally having his head cut off? You think he'd have went through that if Jesus wasn't resurrected? It's amazing. That's why I want our young people and our children to absolutely be grounded when some professor says, well, he's a myth. Some teacher says it's not true. Some teacher looks at you and say, how can you believe the Bible? You're in college and 30 years from now, oh, not 30 years. But you're in college and somebody says, you can't believe that junk. Hey, the only normal people on planet Earth are the ones that believe in Christ. Amen. I want you to understand that. Everybody else is living a lie.
That's right.
They're living a lie. And so what Peter is telling us is that we have a living hope through Jesus Christ. We look at things so funny. Take a moment and just wipe your eyes. You got glasses, they'll get dirty, but don't. And what I want you to understand is that in man's opinion, the only things that are real we see. We touch, we taste. But understand something. The things that we call real are temporary. The hope that Christ is giving us is eternal. There's no end to it. It doesn't matter in the kingdom of God what happens on November next year, this year, or what is happening in Brussels, or what is going on around the world. God never told you to panic over ISIS.
That's right.
We get so caught up in the here and now, we forget about the eternal and we forget about Christ. This is not our home.
Amen.
This is not where we are going to spend eternity. and we walk around hopeless with our heads down, wondering what Hillary's going to do or Mr. Trump is going to do or whoever else is going to do. It doesn't matter. God's still in control.
Amen.
Now look at me. Some of you have been praying for the end times. Buck up. How many have been praying for the end time? Nobody's going to say anything. But do you realize that you got to go through some of this stuff to go through the end times? We prayed for that, and then if this is the end times, we whine when it begins to happen. Forgive me. I'm going to tell you something. The main concern in the hearts of believers should not be leaving. The main concern should be taking people with us when we do leave. We're going to leave. I don't have no doubt about it. But the Bible says, hastening the day of the Lord. How do we do that? By reaching the people that are going to be saved. And we don't walk around with our heads on the ground in a hopeless attitude, in emotional breakdowns, in frustration, in looking at everything that's temporary. Because everything that's temporary is going to change.
That's right, amen.
If you don't believe that, my wife bought a 64 and a half Mustang in 65? 64. Beautiful car. But it's not the same. It was a beautiful car. Now if we get through the dust and the dirt, we might be able to find a car underneath it. Things change. But hope doesn't. Now abideth faith, what?
Hope.
And what?
Love.
These things will abide forever. But the greatest of these is love. And because God loves you and you love God, you have hope.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now listen, Christ is resurrected. Paul says that if Christ had not risen from the dead, we don't have hope and we're to be pitied. And our salvation is not real and our sin is not forgiven. And all the things that we talk about can't happen. Christ had to arise from the dead to be our advocate, our mediator, and to work in our lives. If that didn't happen, we still have no access to the Father. I want to tell you something. Without the resurrection, no one's saved. And no one is safe. Without it. You can question it. You can analyze it. You can say, how did it happen? How many have ever read the book of John? Totally. How many have ever read the Bible? How many have a Bible? How many want one? Do you realize that Jesus demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection as he stopped the widow of Nain's son's funeral and as he called Lazarus forth? How many believe that? So if that happened, why would he still be in the grave? There's amazing, amazing, amazing hope. And Paul, when he gets through 1 Corinthians 15, down around verse 20, 21, 22, he says, but Christ did rise from the dead. Christ did rise from the dead. Therefore, we don't live in hopelessness. We don't live looking at things to bring us the peace and the joy and the happiness that we need and that we want. That's all bundled up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, Paul writes in Philippians 3:10. Paul writes in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed to his death. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. You know what Paul's saying? Paul is saying, let me be the same radical person that Jesus was. Paul is saying that he is going to walk in that power, that anointing, that glory, that immediate fellowship with the Father that Jesus had. He's going to be a Jesus freak, a Bible thumper. What are some of the other things we get called? I had them down here. I'll look at it.
Can't save
a
church.
Can't save me church. He was willing to be called mad. He was called mad by the highest officials in the land. He was termed crazy, radical, Jesus freak, Bible thumper, out of touch with reality. What more do you want? Are you willing to be radical for Jesus? You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about radical for Jesus is walking as Jesus walked. I'm not talking sandals and skirt. Or what we'd call a house robe. I'm talking about the fact that we are willing to take everything that comes because of Jesus, even to the place of laying everything down for him, our lives. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the reality of this gospel deeper than what I've been. And let me ask you, is that you? Are you willing to stand for that and lay it down for Jesus and come to a place where nothing's going to hinder your progression, your maturity, your life, you being a child of God to the nth of the degree? It doesn't matter if people like me. That's nice, but it's not necessary. But I'm not telling you to be obnoxious. But we are in that place. Do you realize our country? Boy, I gotta be careful. Our country is in a mess because our churches decide to go social.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. We would rather have a social gospel. We would rather blend into culture. We would rather not be a counterculture. We would rather be in a place where we are accepted and looked at as normal. That's a bad place to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know I might be preaching to the choir, but God is calling us out. God is calling us to a place that full surrender to him absolutely means full surrender. And I'm not saying you have to spend every moment every day in prayer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the number one thing in your relationship is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And my last point is this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken, make alive your physical bodies. I want to tell you something. That word quicken is in the King James. But that word quicken, and when I read it, I looked at it again in the Greek. The word quicken means to be made alive with life. Figure that out. Be made alive with life. In other words, the life of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is giving you life over all emotions, over all depression, over all sickness, over all frustrations, over all the things that are trying to take you down. And so God is saying, hey, I want to make you alive. I want to revitalize your life. I want to give you new energy. I want you to be rejuvenated. I want you to walk in a power and anointing of life that exceeds everything. Yes. That the enemy has robbed from you. I believe with all my heart, and I've been going through some sicknesses. I'm going to tell you that. I believe with all my heart that Satan's tool is to keep us from stepping into the life that God wants to give you that's beyond your physical life. If that same Spirit that dwells in you, raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you, He's going to give you life. Amen. He's absolutely radically going to change your outlook, your feeling, your emotions, yes, and sickness.
Yes.
And I believe that with all my heart. And the Holy Spirit will do it, because that's what He does. What do? We get focused at times because we fight and we get wore out and the battle is hard and things are tough and we wear ourselves out fighting to maintain, and we're not maintaining when God wants us to go forward. So this life is not looking back at where I came from, it's looking forward to where I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your car. When I drive to Sioux Falls today to take the little boys back, we got a great big windshield and a little bit of rear view mirror. You've heard that before. You don't drive with your rear view mirror. You drive with your windshield.
Amen.
And so we're looking forward. And that is where God wants us to be now.